K-E-A-X-W, Marjorie.
K-E-A-W-U-O. K-E-A-W-U-O. This is N-A-W-R-O. How's it going?
Not too bad. I'm up at Bald Mountain, so I don't know if this counts as a Parks on the Air activation, but I'm walking the dogs on the disc golf course. So it's a nice little walk for them. They're loving it. How are you today?
I can't complain. This weather is great. I was curious how the diving went yesterday. I'll try again. I might have missed it. I like the weather today. It's excellent weather. I love the cooler stuff. And, of course, it's football weather. And I was just curious how your diving session went. I think it was yesterday, right? Negative copy. I may have lost you. This is N-A-W-R-O. I will be listening.
K-E-A-F-J-W, K-V-S-W.
K-E-A-F-J-W, K-E-A-F-J-W. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Good afternoon, Brad. He was on earlier. Got busy. I was going to holler at you earlier and say hi, and I forgot. So just looked again and see you were. We're on, so I figured I'd turn it on and give you a holler. Say hi.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that sounds good. It's a beautiful day up here, that's for sure. It's, it doesn't feel like fall anymore. It feels like we're going back towards spring or summer.
Yeah, it's definitely a nice day. Could have been like this all summer, not been so hot. What do you do?
Yeah, that's for sure. That's all right. Weather you can't control, I guess. But, yeah, I was trying to get a hold of Freddy there and see about getting my other repeater online. So, and here's what it is. I was going to bug him a little bit.
He's been sick. He got upper respiratory infection and got some flu bug last weekend during MS, like MS, so. He hasn't been doing much all week. Matter of fact, I don't think he was doing any work stuff either. He works from home. I think he tried to do a little Friday, but not sure how much he got done. But yeah, he's been sick. So, what other repeater you got? A different DMR you want to put on, or what? What's shaking there?
Yeah, I got another repeater. I can have more power. Has I'll switch them out, this repeater for that one. So, yeah, I can't wait.
Is it a 8300 or 8400 or what? Right band split, wrong band split? What do you got?
Oh, yeah, it's 8300 there. And, yeah, it's the normal split there, the 3UHF, the 403 to whatever it is, 470. So, yeah, that other one, just, I want to switch it to has more power than the one that we're on right now. So, I was trying to see if we can switch it over, but it has the older software you have to use on it. So, and I forgot that the cold plug I gave him was for the the low power repeater. So, it is what it is. I forgot how it only put out about 10 watts, so that's all I got. What I got from the evil.
Well, that's kind of strange. Must be something wrong with the final end, then, if it's only putting out 10 watts. Usually they work or they don't. Normally 1 to 25 or 20 to 45, so. But it's kind of strange.
Yeah, for sure. Well, when I got it, I was doing 20. And I changed some things around. When I was putting everything into the can, I got a couple of the antenna switched around. So So that wouldn't happen there. So I caught in time to where it only got down to about 10 watts there. So not completely gone, but yeah. So I gotta end up getting a different one, and it can put out the higher power. So yeah.
Did you already send Fred the code plug for the new one?
Yeah, I sent it to him in an email, and I haven't heard from him since. And I can't remember when I did it. I know it's been a while, but maybe that's when he first got sick or something.
He might have done that the Thursday or Friday before MS, I think I remember now. And he was busy with that, and then he got home Sunday night and he was sick, so I'll give him a holler and see if he can throw the information in there and send it back to you.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's fine. No worries. So yeah, whenever you start feeling better, getting around to it, so.
Are you going down to the bridge tomorrow?
I have to work tomorrow. So it's got to work for me. My weekend's pretty much over.
Gotcha, okay. Yeah, it sounds like they got enough help, but you kind of need to go.
Yeah, I done it once, and I had to let me do the roaming. We did the roaming stuff, and I was like, oh, well, this is fun for a while, and yeah, and it wasn't. But that's what we did when I did it, so after that, I don't think I done it for since. So I only did it the one time.
Really? Sounds good. Well, next to give you a holler and say hi. I'll bump Fred and see if how he's feeling, see if he can get that done, sent back up to you. Chat to you later. KB Destabir.
Hey, sounds good. Hey, thanks for coming here. Tell me hi. So, hey, you. Catch you later. KEAWTW.
Yeah, I see. KEAWUO.
KEAWUO. This is NAWRO. How you doing, John?
Not too bad. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. So, I did talk to you this morning, yes?
Yeah, I was at Bald Mountain, and I was able to get through to you at least one time, and then I struggled to get through after that. So, you had asked me how the scuba diving went, and then I kind of said how it went and mentioned that I had just found the disc, and then
I ended up not getting the answer to that question, and then I convinced myself I mistook your call for someone else's and that I was talking to somebody I didn't even know, because you know how on DMR that voice recognition we have on analog, it doesn't work. You got to really pay attention to with the call sign and who you're talking to. But, yeah, it must not work for some reason. But, hey, I'm happy to know it actually was you this morning.
Yeah, that was me. I was taking the dogs for a long overdue large adventure day. I try to take them on big adventures every now and then. And I've taken them on small adventures, but it's been a while since we really kind of dedicated the good part of the day for the dogs to go run around and just be dogs, you know. I let them both be off leash and sniff whatever they want to sniff and all that. So I think they had fun. They're exhausted. I just fed them, and now they're just laying around trying to catch their breath still.
Oh, that sounds great. I bet you they love it. Yeah, I don't have any puppies anymore. It used to be a Boston Terrier here. I got a family member in Eaton Rapids. She has two Bostons now. So a little bit of a smaller dog, but they're fun. Their antics are very fun. They like hanging on a rope, you know, like a Tarzan swinging, stuff like that.
Yeah, my sister had a Boston Terrier, and the thing was awesome. It it made some of the cutest little snorts and grunts, and they're just adorable little dogs, and they're bundles of joy. And so I have a lot of fond memories, and whenever I see a little Boston Terrier, it always reminds me of, we call it, his name was Dignam, and so yeah, but yeah, how was your day so far?
You can't beat this weather. This weather is indeed nice. I did a little digging into the set scoring, which at one point you should probably take a look at it, because it's actually a mathematical formula. And, you know, every item they want us to score for the set. So, man, we're going to sit down and talk to Dave about that. But this is not his first rodeo, so to speak. So I'm sure a good majority of that he's got down pat, but we got to figure out. They even have multipliers in it. So if you do this deed, then you can take your score and multiply it by this number. I mean, man, the guy's got to be like a math professor who created it. But it's all for a reason. It's all good. So it's just, I'm glad we have the key and we can understand it now.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I would definitely like to take a look at that and see if we can kind of lay out what, you know, a high score, like the maximum score would be, and line it up with the people that we have and see if we can kind of create a roadmap for success, I guess, where, you know, all the people that are HF capable can use WinLink, and, you know, we'll kind of like get everybody up to snuff on WinLink, make sure everybody's WinLink is updated before the set, and make sure all the ICS forms are all updated, and just kind of rule out all the potential hiccups that we ran into last time. And I think that would be fun, and then it'll tell me like what the ideal scenario is. Like, if I can do X, Y, and Z, then I help the team as much as I could, you know, and that's kind of what I'd like to do. So, and then I'm sure that everybody else wants to do that too. So that I would be very interested in that. Where are you finding that? K-E-8-W-U-O.
Leadership. It's not a fall document, but, and, you know, let me just chat with him, and I'm sure it's okay with him. I can email it to you and just take a look at it, because it's right up your alley as far as, like, understanding it. It's not too bad. We got to figure out, okay, who's handling number 7? You know, some of it is pretty straightforward, not a problem. We'll get it by default, but we got to remember to do it. So, and then others are like, if you cooperate with another county, you can multiply your score by either 2 or 3. We may not do that. We may elect to, probably will elect to just go it alone, but that's a totally different category. So that's, so those counties, there are 1,000 points and above. That's why. So I think there's a different category, so I'm not really worried about that anymore. But again, whatever Dave wants to do, we can do it. But then, you know, people like you and I and everyone that is interested, we're going to make it happen. So it's going to be fun. I do enjoy it.
Yeah, that would be an interesting thing to kind of make a form for, with Excel formulas and whatnot, and be able to calculate our current score on demand in real time, and then also see what low-hanging fruit is out there that we can knock off to improve our score, because like anything formula related is a lot of fun in Excel, and then it's a lot of fun in you know, basically Google Sheets too. So that would be a worthwhile endeavor, I'd have to say, and we can kind of create like a dashboard view of all of the points that we could accrue, I don't know how that helps us, like if we get better funding, if we have a better score or anything, but I know it's nothing else, bragging rights, and so That would be interesting. I think that would be a fun little task to tackle. So yeah, I would definitely be interested in that and helping out in any way that I could.
Well, definitely no funding involved. It's just, like you say, bragging rights. And I envision more like a pilot's checklist. You know, you got 1 through 28, and some of these are going to be pretty easy just to check off. Yes, we got that, so we get 1 point for that. But we got to make sure everyone knows what they're doing, right? Like, who's got the game plan? Who's got the one? How many of your participants submitted at least one WeanLink field situation report to your EOC? Now, before today, I didn't know what a field situation report was. So we got to get the word out, stuff like that.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. It's almost like we could kind of assign tasks to every deployable person, and these are the things aside from, you know, going to your deployment center and getting a case of water or whatever the situation is. We also need you to send your 214 via WinLink on VHF, UHF, or HF, and then, you know, all the other little point accumulators that we can get for each person, and then we should look at the ones that we can get as a whole for the club or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. That sounds fun. That sounds interesting.
And one thing you were mentioning on WinLink, I could be reading this wrong, and I'm probably speaking out of turn here, but I'm looking at it very carefully, and it's not mandating RF WinLink. I mean, if we're just using WinLink as an internet device, yeah, we should get extra points for RF.
Yeah, I agree. I think using Telenet on WinLink is almost too easy. I think that the people should, I sort of think that they should get extra credit points for the RF side, you know, maybe like 5 points for VHF, UHF, and like 6 or 8 points for HF, just because it's, you know, a different avenue and a little bit trickier, and so I don't know. I think that would be cool, but if that's not how it's scoring it, then oh well. But yeah, I think Telnet sometimes is cheating, but if that's all we have to do, that should be pretty easy to get everybody to be able to do that. So that would make that checklist item.
Well, I do agree with you 100%, but I should continue another time after we speak to the EC about it. I will mention that you are interested, so we can bring you in, and we can kind of hash it out, because the more people that hash, I would like to participate on the day of. But at the end of the day, whatever day needs me for, same thing with you, I'm sure. No, I'm afraid that's something I'm not going to do, although back in my other career, I did know some people on the dive team from Macomb. So, but of course, that for them it was almost always Lake St. Clair, which I guess is a little muddy, isn't it?
Yeah, St. Clair is. I believe I looked it up at one point, and it has an average depth of like 12 feet. And the shipping channel is obviously cheap, deeper. But from what I understand, I don't spend a lot of time on Lake St. Clair. It's a little too shallow, which when it's shallow like that, then it's a lot of seaweed, a lot of undergrowth, really kind of not a lot to see. It's also really warm, you know, it's like bath water, and we're all dry suit divers, and so getting in there, you're like getting cooked alive, and the visibility would be rough. Also, it's kind of dangerous because it's so shallow that boats go over you. You know, you're only got so much room between you and the ground and the surface. So, but yeah, I'm more of a Inland Lake diver and the Great Lakes diver. Still haven't done the ocean yet, but it's on my bucket list.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, that's what I heard about St. Clair, not necessarily a fun dive zone. When I had my boat, I did went up to Port Austin a lot. So I went up the Port Austin way. And down here, what was the lake at the end of Rochester Road? Lakeville Lake. Man, when the kids were little, we used to go on Lakeville Lake, and that was good for boating because it was all sports. There was a few sandbars we got out and swim. So, yeah, that was fun back in the day.
Yeah, I don't think I dove Lakeville Lake, but I do dive some lakes out there, Union Lake, Orchard Lake, Mace Bay Lake. What's that other one? Oxford Lake. I don't know. It's fun. It's interesting. There's another one that we got that's near Kensington called Spring Mill Pond, and that one is like one of the only places locally that has freshwater jellyfish, which is pretty wild. I guess they came here from China. They're about the size of a quarter, and they only come out in the water column for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then they disappear. So it's kind of interesting. I never knew there was a such thing as freshwater jellyfish until I started diving. And that and mud puppies. You don't see a lot of those, but when you're topside. But when you scuba dive, you can see them quite often, especially in the next couple months. So it's kind of neat.
NAWRO for ID. Yeah, the jellyfish, can they sting you?
Not that I know of. I've never been stung, and there's always so few of them, I think it would be pretty hard to get stung. They're so small, too. Like I said, only the size of a quarter. And they're impossibly thin. It seems like if you kick too hard with your fin, you'll destroy them, but... Yeah, they're just like a really small little. They came over. I have no idea, but that's the rumor on the street. But seeing them routinely in Spring Mill Pond is pretty much what it sounds like. It's a pond. It's not. They say it's, but man, is it visibility? It's like a mud pit. You know, like you said about Lake St. Clair. It's max depth of 35 feet, so it's pretty warm this time of year, too, to see all the bluegill doing.
Well, I'm not sure about night and water. I remember being on the Asabo River in a boat with a buddy doing some night fishing, and, man, that current got us, and it was just taking us away. We finally got back, but it's just like everything went wrong. Because it was nighttime and we had very little light, all our fishing gear got tangled, and I was like, all we could do to get back to shore where we were at. So, hey, just a question for you. Are you going to be able to make that picnic on Saturday coming up, I think?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm going to bring the, the fox. I'll try to hide the fox out there, and I have a couple ideas for like a first, second, third prize for anyone that finds the fox, and then I'm willing to let anyone use my stuff to find it just so they can practice, and even if they don't have it, I think it'd be fun. And I figured we would just keep track of time, like how long it took them to find it, and whoever's got the best time would win. But yeah, I don't know. I do plan to be there. I reached out to Dave today to see if he's got a pavilion rented, and I offered to help out with that if he needed. And he's basically going to let me know more tomorrow.
Yeah, I got to hear someplace. I think he said Area D, as in David. There is a pavilion there, but whether he's got it, I don't know. But yeah, unfortunately, it is good old days weekend, but I'm still going to make it to that, and I just don't know how long. But see, now you're bringing you're bringing a fox now, so it's like, oh, well, wait a minute, maybe I should bring some equipment. We'll see how it works out, but I'll be there as well.
Well, for someone that's fox hunted Stony Creek with my own fox, I don't think it'll take too long, so he might be able to stop in, check out the picnic, say hi to everybody, and then maybe find the fox on your way out or something. And then we can distribute any prizes to anyone that wins either that day or at the next meeting. But I don't know. I think it'd be fun. I like fox hunting. I had a really good time with Lance Cruz North doing it, and I just kind of got the bug. So I had to get the gear to do it, and then I had the gear to do it, but I didn't have a fox to hunt. So I had to put together a fox. I don't know. It just gives us something else to do there and poke around and have a little bit of fun. So can't go wrong with that. But, yeah, it'd be great to see you there.
Yeah, I'm going to make it, and I think Tom said he's going to make it. So we got people coming out. Well, I'm always up for a free burger. I'm okay with that. And sounds good. I'll have to see if I can bring some of them. I'll probably end up bringing this new GMR radio I got as well, have it in the back of the car. Although I think it's more of a parking lot situation there. It's not like you're up close to the area. But nevertheless, I'll still bring it. So, all right, John, I'll let you go for now. I'll appreciate the QSO in AWRO after you.
All right, well, you have a good one, sir. I will see you Saturday at the latest, and I'll probably talk to you during the week, all throughout the week. So thanks for the QSO as well, and take her easy and enjoy the nice weather. 73.
Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray, testing the hotspot on statewide 1.
Your hotspot is working just fine, KE8WUO, hearing you loud and clear, good audio level.
WUO, thank you very much, I appreciate it. I've been working on this for a while. KC8KJNO was kind of helping me out a little bit, and I finally figured it out. It was a darn setting in the radio, but I finally got it. Thank you for the report. I greatly appreciate it. This is KE8LAX, clear on your final and monitoring.
All right. Yeah, well, congratulations. I know DMR can be quite a lot of fun to get a wrap on. So it sounds like you got it working just great, and I will also be monitoring KE8WUO 73.
KF8 BMW radio check.
Kilo Echo 8 Lima Alpha X-ray monitoring statewide 1.
KE8 LAX, this is NAWRO Richmond. How you doing?
NAWRO KE8 LAX, I'm doing all right. Just playing the Alpha hotspot. Finally got it going, so it's definitely kind of nice to find out that I was able to actually remote in with the hotspot. I forget who I was talking to that said they actually took it off the website because people were just messing it up so bad.
Well, that's great news. Yeah, I know Tom was helping you out with that and a couple others, I believe, so I'm glad you got it done. Hey, listen, Dave, the EC wanted me to make sure you got the invite that you're welcome to drop in on the set on October 4th with us and deploy with us if you're interested.
What does it entail?
Well, it's basically just a net, and you can check into the net. It's a simulated emergency, and it's pretty exciting, actually. It's kind of quite fun. And if you on that particular Saturday, if you're available, you can check in, and then they will deploy you to a location. It's all, you know, training, just test, test, test. We have to use that phrase a lot, you know, just a test, so, you know. And you go out and, you know, whatever location they send us to do a task. Typically it involves taking a photo of something, we don't really know what it's going to be about. On purpose, they don't let us know about it. But quite frankly, it's really fun. It's really enjoyable. And I think it's going to be in this area, in this part of the county. Let's just say central Macomb County. We don't know exactly what city, but quite fun. And if you'd like more information on it, if you still have that postcard, just go ahead and email Dave at arpscmacombcounty@gmail.com.
Let me walk into the kitchen real quick.
Yep.
Got it right here.
Okay.
I will, I'll do that.
Yep, greatly appreciated. We let you go from the net before we got a chance to, I guess we had you and somebody else checked in from the little postcard project we had there, and we let you get away before we made that invite. So I made sure Dave knew that I was going to let you know that. So if you're interested, it's quite fun. No commitment whatsoever, but there, sadness coming up. We do them in the fall and in the spring as well. But October 4th, the first Saturday in October, is coming right up.
Now, as far as membership, or maybe not membership, but to volunteer and start checking off, I know I had heard something about making, I think he said, tape measure yagis and some other stuff like that, and something like soldering a PL239 connector together and some stuff like that. Is there requirements to that, like X amount of participation per month or what have you?
There is, but it's not that strict. You know, we do expect you to, there's a certain amount of meetings per year you need to show up. And if you check in on the net, it doesn't have to be every net, but, you know, you don't make yourself scarce. And then at some point there is going to be a discussion about a task book that has to be completed. But there's not a huge, there's a long time period on that.
Okay, this don't sound too bad. I was only questioning it, but it didn't seem like the net was kind of the place. And for some reason, my HTs were not getting out from the house. I actually had to jump in the truck to finish that out and answer the question. But that was definitely a because I'm definitely interested in volunteering. You know, I'm possibly doing some of your guys' special events and what have you, but I was curious about that because I own a photography business and my family and I also run an auto repair shop in Chesterfield, so my time is fairly limited. Now, in a emergency situation, that's, you know, that's different. If I need to deploy or help out or what have you, that's not an issue. But having to constantly keep up on something all the time, you know, once or twice a week, that would start to get difficult. Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray.
November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar. I totally understand, and those were my concerns when I first joined up in the spring. But not that way at all. Very directed by you, how much you want to participate. Another thing you can do at the bottom of that card, there is that phone number for Dave's office. You know, you'll be leaving a message at this time, but if you want to go ahead and leave a, however you want to do it, either the email or the phone call, and just let them know who you are, your call sign. He's going to know you because we have a list generated by those that checked in that were also given the postcard. So he's going to be really happy to hear from you, and he could probably do a better job of explaining. I highly recommend it. It seems like you might be ideal for it. The time commitment is whatever you'd like to give.
Awesome. I appreciate the feedback for what you were capable of giving feedback for, and I will actually send him an email here shortly. And, it sounds like you guys have been on a big recruitment to try to bring some new and young blood into it, and that's honestly good. I've noticed that there's been a lot more young blood coming into the amateur radio community, which is good. And, I mean, I can consider myself that because I'm 32, so I can probably consider myself young blood in the hobby as well.
Well, I agree with that, and it is a goal to get, how can I say this, deployable hams. Of course, we take all licensed hams. There are some that can't for certain reasons, and we certainly do accommodate them. However, the whole point of this is that if emergency did happen, we can actually go to the field and assist.
Right, but, you know, with hams with mobility issues and stuff like that, you could definitely use them, especially if they have base stations with emergency power, what have you, ways of backup. They very well can, you know, serve the role as, you know, net control or something along those lines. I'm sure there's something for, you know, just about everybody.
Yeah, you've got the idea, right? We got a few that do Skywarn and that can do what they can from home, but we, you know, we do want to increase our general membership, and you know, those that want to help out and preferably have the ability to do so is what we're looking for. So with that, I guess I'll let you go for now, but greatly appreciate the interest and looking forward to meeting you IRL one of these days. For now, this is November 8th, Whiskey Romeo Oscar in Richmond. The name here again is Tim. Thanks again.
Thanks, Tim. I appreciate the comeback, and I will be messaging Dave here, or emailing, rather, Dave here, and get some more information on it. I appreciate it. You have a good rest of your evening, and I'm sure I will be hearing from you over the waves at some point or another. This is Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-Ray, clear and monitoring.
W8COP testing on statewide one.
W8COP KE8LAX, you're coming in loud and clear.
KE8LAX, W8COP. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I just switched over my internet from Frontier to Starlink and wanted to see if the hotspot would work okay.
Loud and clear, great audio. Sounds great. How do you like the Starlink so far?
I am very impressed. I'm up here in Rose City, north of West Branch, and we had DSL, 7 megabytes, and a lot of problems with the local carrier, so I decided to switch over, and to be honest, I don't know why I didn't do it years ago. It's awesome. KE8LAX, W8COP, I lost you there.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I was saying that my in-laws live in Forest Lake, just past the 202 exit, and their internet's horrible as well, so I can see where Starlink might be a necessity up there.
Yeah, I'm out here in the middle of the woods, a lot of trees. I was concerned about being able to get a clear shot to the sky, but no problem. I wanted the antenna up above the ridge line of the roof, and yeah, we're getting anywhere from 200 to 300 megabyte speed downloads.
That's not bad for a downlink. If you don't mind me asking, what's the monthly price tag on Starlink?
So the monthly rate is $120. And I was paying $80 for DSL, so a little bit more money, but you know, we stream everything here, TV and just, you know, very dependent on the internet out here in the boonies, so it's going to be worth a little bit more that we have to pay for it.
Absolutely. I actually figured it to be a bit more expensive. I used to have family that used HughesNet satellite internet back in the day, and that was really expensive.
Yeah, so I had HughesNet, it's been maybe 10 years, and back then it was $125 a month. And that was with a 50-gig cap on it. So, you know, all things considered with inflation, I'm pretty pleased with Starlink. W8COP.
W8COP, KE8LAX. yeah, that's pretty good. And yeah, there's no digital, no packet loss, no nothing. You sound great. So I don't know what kind of a load these hotspots take on the internet in itself, but you definitely sound good.
Yeah, digital audio doesn't use much bandwidth at all, I don't believe. So it worked out well. We have no cell coverage where we're at here, and my wife and I, both our cell phones were with Visible, which is a subsidiary of Verizon, and we've got Wi-Fi calling, and you wouldn't, you can't tell. I mean, you sound like you're making a regular, normal cell phone call. So, yeah, it's working out real well for us.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad it's working out, and hopefully, I don't know how often you're on the MI5 statewide network, but I'm sure we'll be hearing you more often.
Yeah, when I'm in the shack, I've always got a radio on. I have to use the Pinconning repeater, which sometimes is pretty rock solid, other times not, depending on propagation. So, but I generally can get in using the hotspot here. So, well, thanks for coming back to the call. I appreciate it. And you sound good into the system as well. And I'll say 7-3 for now. W8COP.
COPK8LAX. Yeah, 73s, and have a good rest of your evening. And I will be monitoring.